This morning, my message is part of the series again, Scripture Twisting. This is number 5 in the series that I've done on people twisting the Scriptures. And we need to be careful that we don't believe their teaching of what these Scriptures teach. Because they're teaching a version of it that allows for this apostasy that's raging all around us, which we're trying our very best to keep out of here. And if we don't keep trying and just sit down and take it easy, that thing will come flooding in here and overflow us. So we need to know when these people are twisting Scriptures for their own agenda and purpose. And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at part 5 in my series, Scripture Twisting. Turn with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 14 to 16. That's the same scripture I've used for every message in the series, the introduction. 2 Peter 3, 14 to 16 reads, "Wherefore, beloved," talking to Christians, "wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." And the things he was saying we were looking for are in the previous verses, if you ever want to read about them. "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do the other Scriptures, unto their own destruction." They twist the Scriptures. They twist the Scriptures. Unlearned and unstable teachers twist the Scriptures as they do the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this morning. The thing that Paul said about, one of the things he said about the Scriptures, is that by our knowledge of the Scriptures we might be safe. He's worried about our safety. All right? And I'm concerned about our safety too. Because I've seen a lot of people fall by the wayside because they didn't remain safe. So let's pray and offer this message to the Lord and this part of our service, eh? Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful privilege that we have, Lord, to have your word in our hand and to read it and understand it and know what you want us to do, Lord. So we pray this morning as we look at this subject that you put upon my heart, Lord, once again, that you would help us, Lord, as your people, to be wise, Lord, to be discerning and understanding of the times, Lord, that these things that are upon the churches, Lord, could come in here if we don't take notice of you, Lord. And we pray for each person who's come here this morning, Lord, that you bless them for their faithfulness and keep them safe, Lord, safe from the wolves that are prowling around everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said this morning, I want to present part 5 in the series of messages I began last year entitled Scripture Twisting. The title for the series is based upon verse 16 of our opening scripture, where we've just read how Peter accused the unlearned and unstable of resting or twisting. Hey, that word resting doesn't mean lay down. It means to twist. They were resting it, twisting it. They twisting certain passages of the scriptures. Peter also explained to his readers in verse 16 what would be the consequences for those who twist the meaning of God's word. What will be the consequences for those people? He said it would be to their destruction. And as I said last week, if we go following them, it'll be to our destruction too. It won't be to our loss of salvation, but there's a verse in the Bible that says, your faith will be shipwrecked. The Bible teaches the Christian in 1 Thessalonians 5:21 that we are to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, rather than just accepting everything because we have been told it by some authority figure we think we can trust. God tells us to check everything to determine that it is trustworthy, to establish whether it is true or false. We don't trust in man, but we trust in God. Amen? We trust in God. And we find what God has to say on any matter in our Bibles. We are to examine and prove all things from the Bible. God doesn't want us to just blindly accept the teachings of anyone without inquiring that what is taught by them is scripturally sound, not from anyone. Alright? Even what is taught by the pastors of our churches. And it's not only the things they teach, as I said last week, not only the things they teach that we've got to prove and test, but just as importantly also the things that they do. Oh, they can say out of their mouth that they fundamentalists, we stick by this and we stick by that. And then you look and see what they do, and it denies it. By their works they deny what they say out of their mouths. In my last message on the subject, I mentioned how I have observed many church leaders over the years who, because of their pragmatic approach to expanding their ministries, pragmatic means use anything that works. So long as it works, we'll use it, alright? So they make a pragmatic approach to expanding their ministries. They run into huge problems with regard to obeying the Lord's specific instructions about biblical separation. And they will use the Lord's comments in Mark 9, 38 to 40 to support their continued association with people and ministries that they really should avoid. We talked about that last week. In that message, we read about John, who supposedly, because of fleshly envy and self-righteous indignation, came to the Lord complaining about a man they had met who was casting out devils in the Lord's name, and how they had told that man to stop doing it. Stop doing that, using the Lord's name to cast out devils. The scriptures record John's complaint in Mark 9:38-40, and also the Lord's response to John. Beginning in verse 38, we read last week, "Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us, and we forbade him, because he follows not us." But Jesus said, this is what Jesus said, "Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part." Whoever's not against us is for us, you see, Jesus said. Many people will use this portion of Scripture to make it appear that the Lord approves of them endorsing and associating with heretics and false teachers, just so long as those they associate with are promoting the name of Jesus. So long as they mention the name of Jesus, everything is all right. And just so long as they are useful in some way to helping expand the influence of their ministry. But as we concluded from that message, the Lord would not tell John, "Forbid them not," if that man had been an heretic or an enemy of the cross of Christ. He wouldn't have told him that. "Oh, just let that bloke go." The Lord Jesus in no way endorses the continuation of ministries and people who come preaching another Jesus, another spirit, or another gospel. Otherwise, why did he inspire Paul to write in Galatians 1:8, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed"? And he repeated it for emphasis. Why would Jesus tell Paul to write that if it's okay for anyone that names the name of Jesus to come along and just let them freely practice whatever they want to practice? Because Jesus said, "Oh, whoever's not against us is for us," you see. If you're not preaching the gospel of the Bible, you're against the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would the Lord inspire Paul to write that if he was supportive of the leaders in his modern churches, knowingly promoting false teachers and heretics just so long as they proclaim the name of Jesus? The answer is, he wouldn't. He couldn't do that. And there is no justification for anybody to use Mark 9, 38-40 as an excuse for them to do it either. It's a classic example of scripture twisting, resting the scriptures out of context for the purpose of deceiving people and for furthering their own questionable agendas. That's what it's about. Now, we talked about last week about an independent Baptist pastor who used that scripture to justify association with Pentecostals. Not just Pentecostals, Pentecostal leaders. That's worse. Pentecostal people. I know lots of Pentecostal people, lovely people. They're like the Catholics. They're just blind, following the blind. All right? But the leaders know. And this leader in particular knows for sure that he's preaching wrong doctrine. But he doesn't care. All right? He doesn't care. He's been challenged about it by me personally. Anyhow, this morning in part 5 of my series, Scripture Twisting, I want to look at another passage of Scripture that is abused and wrested from its meaning, twisted out of its meaning, and for the same purpose that Mark 9:38-40 is taken out of context, for the same reason. People also twist the meaning of this scripture that I'm going to mention so that they can convince everyone that what they are doing is biblical and approved by the Lord, and to suppress any nagging doubts that the people who are being led by them might be getting. Might be having a bit of doubt here. So they preach and twist the scripture to bring those people to ease, you see. Get them back on side. The passage of scripture I want to speak about is Philippians 1, verses 12-18, please. You can turn there and we won't be reading it just yet. Philippians 1, 12-18 is similar to and gets used in much the same way as Mark 9, 38 to 40. By applying a twisted version of biblical truth to achieve an unbiblical outcome. In the same way that Mark 9, 38 to 40 was wrested by an independent Baptist leader, this one too was wrested or twisted by an independent Baptist leader whose ministry includes multiple church campuses and Fundamental Bible College. This internationally recognized and respected leader has access to people and influence upon the pastors of hundreds of independent Baptist churches throughout the world. And he's big in New Guinea. And sad to say, this highly acclaimed independent Baptist leader once had an unhealthy influence upon Coastline Baptist Church through our association with him and also by the teaching materials and books that were being promoted here in our church. And only because of the grace of God, we are free of his influence today. Amen. That much loved and highly acclaimed pastor is Paul Chappell of Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Bible College, Baptist Bible College in California in America. Paul Chappell also has a literature publishing ministry called Striving Together Publications. Some of you might be familiar with that name, because for the first 5 or 6 years of our church's existence, we exclusively used his discipleship course to disciple new converts who were added to our church. Published on his blog site in January last year, 2018, Paul Chappell had an article entitled Fellowship, Separation and the Local Baptist Church. The article was written in defense of the increasing new evangelical direction that he is heading personally. He's heading into apostasy big time, and he wrote this article as a calming effect for all the people who are starting to get a bit nervous, you see. So he wrote this article called Fellowship, Separation and the Local Baptist Church. Because of his wide international influence and his freedom to reach into local independent Baptist churches throughout the world, it's where he is leading a multitude of undiscerning church members and church leaders. His influence is huge. He's going off into apostasy, and he's also leading all these pastors and churches along behind him. In the article, Fellowship, Separation and the Local Baptist Church, Chappell twists the meaning of Philippians 1, verses 12 to 8, demonstrating how he has softened the true independent Baptist position on the very critical doctrine of separation. So let's read Philippians 1, 12 to 18, and see what it says. And then we'll see how the Apostle Paul's message has been wrested or twisted out of its intended meaning to justify a number of things that Chappell promotes. Things that have prompted questions to be asked by ministries that are strongly defending their churches against error. We're not the only ones singing out against him. There's other people. They're being prompted to ask questions by ministries that are strongly defending their churches against error. And the increasing end-time apostasy that is literally flooding into the undiscerning and careless independent Baptist churches throughout the world. So in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 18 says, this is what it says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." He got put into prison, see? "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, Christians, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed, of these brethren in the Lord, preach Christ out of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction, to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Verse 18, "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therefore do rejoice, yea, I will rejoice." So, verse 18, very important. "Notwithstanding then, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached." In the article on his blog site, Paul Chappell states the following. Quote, listen carefully. "If the watchword of my generation was separation," this is on his blog site, which is read by multitudes of independent Baptist pastors and followers, people from independent Baptist movement, read this stuff. And he's telling them, "If the watchword of my generation was separation, the older generation, the buzzword of younger leaders is collaboration. Collaboration. Their heart for collaboration isn't unbiblical. In fact, it is very much like the Apostle Paul, who was more concerned that Christ be preached than that others recognize his leadership. Let me make a comment here. Unquote. All right? Let me make a comment here. He then quotes verses 15 to 18 of Philippians 1, which we've just read, which is straight from the Bible, but it is quoted with the deceitful purpose of preparing his readers to accept his promotion of collaboration or unity with questionable churches, so long as Christ is preached. And therefore, it gives him justification for a number of other things he's endorsing and wants to defend. We're going back to quoting the article again, and this is where he quotes verses 15 to 18 of Philippians 1. Quote, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way," he's saying, "in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice." Continue our quote. "Paul, who was willing to separate when need be, was also desirous to work with others, to work with others who would stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Younger men have less of the World War II single leader forged away picture of leadership." That's the type of leadership he's talking about. Single leader forged away picture of leadership. "And a greater desire to work together with other leaders. The bright side of this is that these men are usually less concerned with who gets the credit than they are with the desire to be a part of something larger than themselves. The downside is that those of us who are more familiar with the top-down leadership style too easily feel uncomfortable with collaboration and can be suspicious of compromise, fearing a lack of separation." End of quote. We old people, we prefer a top-down leadership thing. Is that what the Bible's got? Is it the sheep leading the shepherd? They don't think very deep, do they? They don't think very deep. Yeah, we believe in a top-down. God installs pastors and teachers in the churches to lead the sheep and to guide them. It's not the sheep. That's what's wrong with all these churches out there. The sheep are directing the church. Anything goes. Chapel likes to retain an appearance of old-time conservatism. And this is the flag he flies in his church and at all of his many conferences. It's the flag he likes to present to his old-time fundamentalist independent Baptist supporters. But the youth of in his Lancaster Baptist Church and the young students in his West Coast Baptist College have all heard the pragmatic message of his ministry loud and clear. And they are spreading the compromise widely today. They're spreading it throughout all the churches. Independent Baptist churches that are not standing against this stuff. Many graduates of West Coast Bible College, including his sons, have started emergent-style contemporary churches which use contemporary Christian music, including Hillsong, and they have been prepared and trained for that at Lancaster and West Coast, at Paul Chapel's church and college. Their churches are patterned after the style of the Pentecostal churches, which are difficult to distinguish between a church and a worldly nightclub in both appearance and sound. Now, I was going to mention something before. Chapel has two sons who have started independent Baptist churches. One's been going for quite some time. Guess what its name is? Coastline Baptist Church. It's called Coastline Baptist Church. And our church, Coastline Baptist Church in Cairns, Australia, has been named specifically after Paul Chapel's son's church in America. That's where we got our name from. Pastor Dan was a great mate of Paul Chapel. Paul Chapel is part of the hierarchy that run BIMI missionaries. And him and Pastor Dan worked together. All right? That's why he was friendly with Paul Chapel, and he was friendly with Paul Chapel's son, who had this church called Coastline Baptist Church. And our church was specifically named after that church in honour of them. Now, we've just quoted from Paul Chappell's article where he uses verses 15 to 18 of Philippians chapter 1 to endorse that it isn't unbiblical, and in fact it is quite acceptable, he says, and even desirable to collaborate with other ministries, even ministries that are not sincere and which promote envy, strife and contention, just so long as Christ is preached. And this is where what the new generation of young independent Baptist pastors are endorsing as well. They use the Apostle Paul's statement where he said in verse 18, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. They use that to justify collaborating with ministries and denominations that are leading much of the independent Baptist movement into associating with apostate Southern Baptist churches, as well as Pentecostal and charismatic churches that are all marching to the CCM music, contemporary Christian music, along the path that is leading into unity with the Roman Church. Now, anyone that can't see where CCM is leading the churches is blind, spiritually. You've got to be blind to see that. Can't see that all this CCM stuff that's going on is creating unity, like the charismatic movement did. Oh, so long as you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're a Christian. So we got all these Catholic charismatics and Pentecostal charismatics and Baptist charismatics all getting together. And the music now is the bond that keeps them together and drawing other people in amongst them. But it doesn't matter, they say, because whether in contention or in truth, whether sincerely or by pretense, so long as the name of Christ is being preached and the desired outcome or goal is achieved, that's all that matters. And in an attempt to muffle the sound of any alarms that might be starting to ring in their ears of his sleepy sheep and supporters, he adds that Paul, who was willing to separate when need be, was also desirous to work with others who would stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And herein lies the key to the whole issue. Chucking that verse in on the end seems like, oh, he's a strong Christian supporter, you see, biblical supporter. Herein lies the key to the whole issue. Collaborating with apostate Southern Baptist churches, if you read the week before, you'll see that Paul Chappell is now preaching in Southern Baptist churches. Southern Baptist churches are apostate. Totally apostate. You find good Christian people in there, but the movement is apostate. Collaborating with apostate Southern Baptist churches, as well as Pentecostal and charismatic churches that are all heading into unity with the Roman Catholic Church, is not the same as working with others who would stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's not the same. We spoke about the false gospel that is being promoted by Hillsong and other Pentecostal churches in a previous message. Although you won't hear it preached much these days due to the opposition they've had over the last two decades or so, nevertheless, it is part of their belief system that Christ did not pay the full price for our redemption upon the cross of Calvary, but he actually paid part of it in hell, where he died spiritually, identifying himself with the spiritual death of mankind, which happened at the fall in the Garden of Eden. The faith of the gospel that we are to strive for doesn't include the false gospels of many Baptist churches these days either, which refuse to mention repentance. The gospel without repentance is a false gospel, sorry. It certainly doesn't include the gospel of Hillsong either, who would join with the Pope and the Catholic community evangelizing Sydney during World Youth Day in 2008. How are we to stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel when their gospel doesn't agree with the one in the Bible? Despite his assurance that it isn't unbiblical, that it is in fact quite acceptable and even desirable even to collaborate with new evangelical compromises, the Bible promotes no such thing, my friends, and even condemns such practice, demanding that we separate from such people. For some years now, there has been a huge debate over the increasing use of CCM, or contemporary Christian music, in independent Baptist churches, which escalated in February 2011, when David Cloud wrote and published an article about it. 2011, there was a big blue started up. David Cloud wrote an article, 2011, and published it, and it created a firestorm. That article was specifically in response to Lancaster Baptist Church's use of a CCM song in their church worship service called Shout to the Lord. Shout to the Lord is the signature song written by and published by Hillsong's renowned ecumenical worship leader, Darlene Sheck, which at that time was being sung in every Pentecostal church in the world every Sunday. And yet here it was being sung at Lancaster Baptist Church, the supposed bastion of fundamentalism, not only in America, but in Australia as well. And in New Guinea. He's big up there. He's big in New Guinea. And Robert Baxter's too. They're all following him. There was a huge worldwide backlash from independent Baptist churches that were associated with or supportive of Paul Chappell, or who were involved with his church or college in some way. There was an enormous response condemning David Cloud, but supporting Lancaster Baptist Church, including numerous pastors and church members here in Australia, many who still defend him and support him to this day, despite all the evidence that keeps mounting against his ministry as time progresses. As far as I know, Chappell has never personally responded to David Cloud's reproof of what was happening in his church at that time in 2011 and what is still happening in his church and college to this day. Either to deny that CCM was actually being used during the worship services or to defend himself for his right to use it. He's never come out personally and addressed this problem. All his supporters did. They circled the wagons around Paul Chappell, taking pot shots at whoever came close to him. He's never come out. Never, ever, personally, and admitted his fault or told David Cloud he's telling lies. But plenty of other pastors have. One very influential pastor friend of Paul Chappell tried to defend him by telling me that he had been distracted at that time with some personal family health issues. And a new music director had slipped Darlene Jack's song into the in by mistake. That song got slipped into the worship service just by mistake. But it doesn't explain why numerous contemporary Christian music songs, including by Hillsong, are still currently being used in his service today, 8 years later. No doubt, emboldened by Chappell's example, since 2011, we have observed numerous other highly respected and influential independent Baptist pastors following Chappell's lead. And it's not uncommon for independent Baptist churches today, as I said, to appear like Pentecostal churches, with their big projection screens, their amplified musical equipment and dim lighting, giving them a worldly nightclub appearance. Here in Australia, perhaps the most blatant disregard for the Lord's warning in 1 John 2:15, that we are to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, which has the added frightening proviso, there's an addition on there on the end of that scripture, it says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Nevertheless, in November 2015, accompanied by much publicity and fanfare, Robert Bax of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Rockhampton, a close friend and ministry associate of Paul Chappell, released his new book, Worship Wars. The book was an unashamed defence of using contemporary rock and roll music, worship music, in independent Baptist churches, and caused much controversy. You knew about that, eh? You knew about the big blue that went on when Robert Bax released his book? I released an article here, had it printed up and put on the thing. Pastor Buddy had it all plastered over his Heads Up magazine. David Cloud's been talking about it for years. So you shouldn't be ignorant of this. He released a book called Worship Wars. As I said, it was unashamed defence of using contemporary rock and roll music in independent Baptist churches. And it caused a lot of controversy. In his book, Bax justifies the use in independent Baptist churches of music and songs produced by ecumenical, charismatic, Catholic sympathisers and One World Church builders such as Matt Redman. If you young people are listening to this stuff at home, Matt Redman, Stuart Townend, Darlene Jack, if you're listening to that stuff at home, you're disobeying God. If you're a Christian, it's not just in the church we don't use this stuff. Rock and roll music is not of God, it's of the devil. Came out in the 1940s when the fig tree bloomed. Specifically, it was invented by the devil to stop people getting saved. And if you're listening to it at home, we're not preaching against it just here in the church. You need to get away from it entirely. And get away from all those CCM writers and musicians, rock and roll stars. They all love the world. What did we just read? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. If you love CCM, the love of the Father can't exist in you. You need to get away from it. Get away from it. Quite amazingly to me, as an interested observer and a vocally critical opposer to the introduction of CCM into IB churches that was taking place, in a blog entitled Doctrine Still Matters, listen to this, in a blog entitled Doctrine Still Matters, What's Wrong with Hillsong, posted to his website on October 28, 2014, Paul Chappell asked the following question about Hillsong and also included some advice for his devoted readers. He published an article on his website called Doctrine Still Matters, What's Wrong with Hillsong. Wow, when I saw that, I thought, unreal. He's going to come out and defend it. Doctrine Still Matters. What's wrong with Hillsong? Because we don't. Pastor Buddy wrote an article called What's Wrong with Hillsong. I wrote one there. It's on the table. What's wrong with Hillsong? We published it. So we've been asking that question. So he brings out an article called Doctrine Still Matters. What's wrong with Hillsong? He wrote. This is what he wrote. Why would I be concerned when a Baptist pastor becomes enamored with the ministry like Hillsong? My fundamental concern is that those enamored with Hillsong's style will end up becoming compromising Bible doctrine. Here's what he said. Listen again. Why would I be concerned when a Baptist pastor becomes enamored with a ministry like Hillsong? In other words, gets to like it, you know, and promote it. My fundamental concern is that those enamored with Hillsong style will end up compromising Bible doctrine. Wow! What's going on here? He's the bloke that is using Hillsong in his church. Now, I don't know if any of you can see the irony of this statement, but it seemed to me that after putting his own neck on the line in defence of Chappell's use of Hillsong music at Lancaster Baptist Church, it was a bit unfair that after having been emboldened to follow Chappell's example, admittedly going a little bit overboard by actually attending Hillsong's annual conference twice in person, Bax is now being publicly contradicted by his influential American friend. Bax wrote a book called Worship Wars, promoting Hillsong music. Paul Chappell's church is using Hillsong, and he comes out and asks this question. Why would I be concerned with a Baptist pastor becomes enamored with a ministry like Hillsong? My fundamental concern is that those enamored with Hillsong style will end up compromising Bible doctrine. So, he's contradicted Bax, because Bax has been arguing with us for months at this time about why Hillsong music is good. And he attended the church down there 2 years in a row with his mate from America, hugging up to Brian Houston. And not only Bax had been thrown under the bus, but also a host of other Chappell supporters as well, all of whom had also rushed out to defend him when David Cloud published his evidence and reproof in 2011. He published that reproof in 2011. Bax published his book in, 2014. Bax wrote his book. It was later anyway. And later on, Chappell comes out with this statement. Chappell, in an attempt to appear as though he had always held this ultra-conservative position and had never ever used Hillsong music, stated that his fundamental concern is that those enamored with Hillsong style will end up compromising Bible doctrine. Chappell's statement is entirely true. Independent Baptist church leaders who have surrendered to the temptation of using worldly contemporary rock music in their services in order to make their churches more appealing and interesting to the youth truly have compromised the sound biblical doctrine. They have. Not just in the area of music, though, but in many other areas as well. But we need to ask the question, why didn't Chappell come out and denounce Hillsong in February 2011 when David Cloud exposed the use of CCM music being sung in his church services? It would have saved a lot of vocal, though misguided supporters, a bit of embarrassment, I'd think, wouldn't you think? He should have come out and said something earlier about that. They all raced out and defended his use of Hillsong. And Bax wrote an article defending it. And now he goes and writes this thing in his blog, denouncing it. And you see, everybody thinks, oh, he's a fundamentalist. I just read his article. He's against Hillsong. I read the article on the blog site. He says they'll compromise their doctrine if they go along with Hillsong. It's deception, gross deception. And we need to have our thinking caps on and be discerning and sober and alert for these sort of things, because you'll get an argument from somebody when you try and tell them that Paul Chappell's using Hillsong music in their church. They'll quote this and say, no, he doesn't, he's against it. And they've got things on their website about us, our About Us page, how they don't use CCM in their services. And they do. As I stated previously, Chappell's article entitled Fellowship, Separation and the Local Baptist Church was written and published to his website in January last year as a thinly veiled defence of the continuing new evangelical direction that he is heading personally and where he is taking his church and college as well. And it's where he's also leading a huge number of unquestioning and devoted followers in independent Baptist churches throughout the world. People are just stumbling over each other to follow him. That conference that David Vo went to in the Philippines last year was a Paul Chappell conference. And as soon as I saw the photo of David Vo, he's standing in front of a doorway, and on the banner at the top it says, Striving Together for Asia. Striving Together Publications. Paul Chappell. I knew straight away, this is a Paul Chappell conference. In closing, Chappell's use of Paul's teaching in Philippians chapter 1, particularly verse 18, as justification for his use of CCM or contemporary Christian music, and his promotion of collaboration with questionable people and ministries, is a clear example of someone who is willing to wrest the scriptures or twist the scriptures to achieve his preferred outcome, which is usually expansion of their ministry and their personal influence, giving the impression of success. To attempt to present that the Bible teaches that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, it means that the Lord would agree with us collaborating with, endorsing and working in unity with people and ministries that are known to be preaching a false Christ, a false spirit and a false gospel, will lead not only to those that teach them to destruction, but also anyone foolish enough to believe and follow them. Amen? I'm going to close with Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 16. It says this, Isaiah 9:16 exposed religious leaders in Isaiah's day where he proclaimed, The leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Nothing's changed since Isaiah's time, my friends. It's only gotten worse. Amen? Nothing's changed. Isaiah said, God inspired him to write, The leaders of this people cause them to err, to make mistakes, to walk away from God, and they that are led of them are destroyed. That's what these leaders are doing. Amen? Let's close in prayer and close the service. Thank you, Lord, for this instruction from your word, Lord, and this expose of all the things, Lord, that are going on in the name of Christ, Lord. So long as Christ is preached, they say that these things are okay. We can collaborate instead of separate. We pray, Lord, that you open the eyes of the people to see the deception and the deceit, Lord, that is being promoted by these very famous independent Baptist pastors. We thank you that you've given us here, Lord, light to see these things and helped us to be aware, Lord. And we thank you for your protection that stuff is not coming into Coastline Baptist Church, Lord. We pray that you continue to protect each one of us. And, Lord, we thank you for the people that are remaining here at Coastline Baptist Church who want to walk on that straight path with you, Lord, to walk, no matter what happens, to walk with you, Lord. We pray that you bless each one. Bless these people for coming out this morning. Bless this message to them. Instruct us where we need instructing. Correct us where we need correcting. And comfort us, Lord, where we need comforting, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to close with a hymn. Now that's the fifth in my series of scripture twisting. I might leave it alone now, all the scripture twisting, but you people in this church have been warned, all right, of who's doing what. There's no excuse for any one of us in this church getting led astray to wander off to follow, this wonderful man, Paul Chappell, and all his people that are promoting him. There's big name pastors that are promoting him, and his influence is getting in everywhere. So we've got no right to blame God if we stand before him up there in heaven and don't get any crowns. Don't get any rewards. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll be in trouble if you go along promoting and just going along with what Paul Chappell's doing in the churches of the world. You'll end up in strife, let me assure you. But as I said, I'm going to leave those heavy messages alone for a while. Amen. We need to be encouraged too, eh? It's good, eh? It's good to know, but be warned. But we need a bit of building up too. So hopefully I can get the Lord to give me some messages that will be an encouragement to us. Are you encouraged by the truth, eh? The truth is an encouragement. God is protecting us. We've got a dog that barks. Did I ever tell you about the bloke that told me, I tell him about the new version of a Bible. And I said to him, the pastors in the church here won't let me tell you about what's wrong with it. Oh, why won't they? Well, they don't like barking dogs. They tell me to sit down when I find something that's wrong. The Message Bible had just been released and they're promoting it in the church. And he was in church there, sitting there one Sunday morning when I came along to set up my sound equipment. And what are you doing? He's reading the Message. I said, oh, mate, he's a mate of mine. You need to chuck that thing in the bin. What? The pastor said it's great. So I told him. I said, I want to tell you people about this thing. I said, they don't want me to say anything. It's like a dog. It's like a dog that barks. They tell him to shut up. Sit down and be quiet. Don't warn about the thief. And he said, unreal. He said, you don't know what you're saying. I said, what? He said, this week, he owned a lawnmower business. And he used to have his four-wheel drive and his big trailer hooked up together with all his mowers and all his equipment parked out the front of his house. Parked out there overnight, out at Red Lynch. And he said, my dogs were barking. He lives upstairs in this house. The dogs were barking. And he said, I told them to shut up. Sit down, shut up, you're waking me up. He said, when I went down in the morning, my lawnmowers were missing. I said, oh, unreal, mate. That's the greatest illustration I've ever heard. I'm going to tell everyone about it. That's what I'm saying. If we don't sing out, listen to the dog that's barking, we'll go out in the morning and our lawnmower will be missing. Amen? We need to, hey, listen to the barking dog. Well, we don't want to hear dogs barking all night. All right? Let's finish with a hymn, 156.